All right, let's get into this. So I said all that to say this, that we started a series last Wednesday night. And I was debating. I said, you know what? I don't know, really know if I want to get into this tonight or because of the weather. And many of you were not able to get out of your house as well. And that's understandable. So we went ahead and started it, but I talked about a mini-series last Wednesday leading up to a series that we're getting ready to go into. And so we're getting ready to start in the armor of God. And man, I'm excited about that, about breaking down the armor of God and what each piece represents. What is this all about? You know, what about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shoes of peace, the belt of truth? And you know, why all of this stuff? What is the purpose? What is the reason? So I got to thinking, before I get into the armor of God, we really need to understand that, first of all, why we have to wear the armor of God is because of this. We are in a battle. And I said all this, so I'm going to quickly move through this tonight, through the step one and two, because the thing I want to get to is the end part tonight. Because here's the thing, the spiritual warfare is what we're facing. Spiritual warfare, things that the natural eye cannot see. But saints, there is a battle that is going on around us that you don't even know about. There is a battle that is trying to destroy your home. There's an enemy trying to destroy your family, your children, your marriage, everything about you, and you can't even see it. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. By the way, it's good to have Pastor Stephen Heine with us tonight. He is a pastor at Pittsburgh Church of God here on our district. Brand new pastor, Trinity Harvest. Make him welcome tonight, and we appreciate him being here tonight. So he just took this church on. Man, it hadn't been all that long now, has it? So brand new pastor there. And Charlie, you know a little bit about that place. And so he went filled in out there several times. So that's the sucker there that we got in there. So anyway, no, Stephen has already doubled the attendance there and doubled the finances there already. Done good, great job already. So God's blessing. Luke chapter 4, verse 13 tonight, and I want to share with this. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And I want to emphasize that word, for a season. Now the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season. Everybody say season. And there is a time to every purpose under heaven. So hear me tonight. Sometimes a preacher is cast in an unpopular role preaching things that either people don't want to hear or they don't want to believe. And so when you talk about spiritual warfare, that is one of those things that people are like, ah, really? It sounds weird. It sounds odd. But there's nothing more ridiculed than the idea of a spiritual war that every one of you are involved in tonight. There's nothing that is more ridicule. Most people just don't want to believe that they're in a conflict. Most people don't want to believe that they're in a battle or a war for their own soul. Why? Because we don't have spiritual eyes that can see the world above us. Because our eyes are only able to see, when we think about a war, our eyes are only able to see armored vehicles and tanks and personnel carriers and jets and guns and weapons. So there is a tendency to forget that we are in a battle for our soul. And so we walk around in life and we're thinking, man, why is it that I feel the devil is kicking my teeth in? Probably 9 times out of 10 is because you're ignorant, not stupid, I'm not calling anybody stupid, but you're ignorant to the fact that there's a war that's going on for your soul. There's a battle that's going on to try to defeat you. Maybe because you feel like your teeth are getting kicked in because you're not open to the realization of what's going on around you. So quickly tonight, I want to share a couple of things and then get right into this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says that least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the point tonight is to bring it to the front, to show you that, you know what? So you can't walk away from here being ignorant of things. There is a battle that goes on, and the devil wants to destroy you. That's it tonight. Don't be ignorant of that. Don't think that you're immune to that, because you're definitely not. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Here it is. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all that you have done, stand. Stand. I like that part. After you've done everything you know to do, you just stand. Keep standing. So tonight I want to look at, and like I said, last Wednesday, I was only able to get two out. So tonight I want to get them all out, hopefully. So six seasons tonight. I want to tell you six seasons in life where it seems like the enemy will come in and target you. All right, it's not every day, but it seems like it rolls. How many of you know I'm talking about when I say, you know, how you doing today? I'm having a good day. But how many of you know that tomorrow I can ask you that question? I say, how you doing? You're saying, oh man, it all broke loose on me today. Or it seems like, you know, you feel like there's a season that you're doing good, a season that you feel God, you feel spiritual. I don't know about you, but it's happened to me. But then there's seasons that I go through and I'm just numb. I'm numb to the things of God. I'm numb. I don't feel spiritual. I don't feel saved. I don't feel God. I don't want to pray. I don't even want to come to church. I don't want to preach. It's scary, isn't it? I'll be transparent, if you will, tonight. If you'll be honest and say, you know what, I've been through those seasons. Now, preacher, why is that? Why is it that I feel like sometimes I'm going through this right here? Why is it sometimes I feel on the mountaintop, other times I'm kind of lost in life? The first season I want to share with you tonight is this. The first season, and I mentioned this last week, I want to quickly say it again tonight. The first season is this. The enemy is going to come after somebody, after you, immediately after conversion. Immediately after conversion, the devil does his best to attack a new saint in the earliest stages of their new life. As a matter of fact, that's the moment, man, when they give their heart to the Lord, they may have this thought in their mind that everything's going to be rainbows, butterflies, and puppy dogs. Until that season comes along, and until the enemy comes at them, and he's here to defeat them. And I've had it, man. I've had it so many times. People will question. They'll say, this ain't what I feel like I'm in a battle now. And I told them. I said, there was no reason that the devil had to fight you before you got saved. There was no purpose that the enemy was going to come against you before you got saved. But now you're a threat to him. Now he's out to defeat you. Now he's out to destroy everything about you. That's why you're being fought. And I just want to tell somebody this. If you're not being fought, there's a problem with you. Spiritually, if you're not being fought by the enemy, there's an altar you need to find. And you need to do some examining in your life and say, you know what? Hey, you know, because if he's not fighting me, there's an issue. There's a problem there. So understand, the first season is immediately after conversion. And again, that's why I tell people this. That's why it's important for every hearty saint of God to get new converts and to take them under your wings and to love them and to help them to make it. that when a new convert, when a new Christ follower comes to God, listen, it's our job as a church to corral them, to love on them, to take care of them. I wish I could get an amen for that. It's our job to tell them, not to point fingers and tell them, look at you, you ought to be ashamed, but it's our job to love on them and to help them and to be the mom figure to some of them, be the dad figure to some of them. Well, we might be the same age, but spiritually you're on two different levels. So it's important to love on them and to show them the love. Listen, I'll take a moment and just say this. When a new person or a young person comes to an altar, I always pray, Lord, let that prime timer that's been serving God come down and just love on them. Why? Because they know something. They've been there. They've experienced something. Probably this person's going through right now. When a young man comes down to the altar and begins to cry, listen, I pray, Lord, bring that prime timer, bring that seasoned that seasoned man that's been serving God. Let him come down and embrace that young man to pray with him and to hold him up and to encourage him. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, and that's what I want to see. So understand that the first season, when it feels like the enemy comes into our lives and we don't even realize, and we just get saved and we feel like, what has happened all of a sudden? Why does it feel like the world's caving in? It's because he's wanting to defeat you. It's called a spiritual war. And he's trying everything that he can. So the thing that we've got to understand is that is season one, immediately after conversion. But watch this, the second season that it feels like the enemy that comes in and fights you is the second one, is the pain of life. If the first season of temptation takes place immediately after conversion, the second season of temptation takes place when the pain of life settles in on us. How many's ever been through a painful situation before? Anybody? Yeah, just about every one of us in here have all been through a painful situation. Listen, the devil is masterful in attacking us with painful situations, both the mind and the body. He longs for us to think that the spirit and the church has led us into some blind alley of abandonment. He loves to whisper in your ear, where's the church at now? Where's God at now? I thought things were supposed to be different for you, but look at you. You're all by yourself. And so what it causes us to do is to go home and sit in our sofa and turn the blinds and shut the blinds and to get all quiet and start feeling sorry for ourselves. And start looking at other things in life that gets us down. And nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody is calling me. Nobody's checking in on me. Nobody cares. That's what he does. And he's a master at that. And so he makes you look at your body. He makes you look at your mind. He makes you focus so much on your situation that's going on around you. And he puts in your mind, he whispers to you, where's God at now? Hey, where's that church that's supposed to love everybody? Where are they at now? You're all by yourself now. And so if you begin to think that, he longs for us to get to the point where we feel like nobody cares. Nobody loves me. Nobody, there's nobody to talk to. Nobody understands. I want to tell you this tonight. If the devil can get our minds thinking opposite of what the Word of God has to say, much of the battle is over. I'll say it again. If the enemy can get you in your mind to start thinking opposite from what the Word of God says about you and about your life, the battle is almost over. He's almost got you. You're almost defeated. But so what a twisted thing he has done to the modern church in the area of our thinking about suffering. And that's what he does. He tries to get you to think. I can't tell you how many times, you know, well, nobody cared. Nobody called. Nobody. Listen, I felt that way before. I even said Wednesday night, nobody invites us to their home, and here I am laying on a couch, the light going off. I ain't kidding you. I was thinking, where's Kay when I need her? Where, you know, not necessarily that situation, but there's times, listen, I feel sorry for myself. There's times that I look around and I say, nobody knows, nobody understands. Nobody has a clue. Am I the only one that cries and complains sometimes, or is there anybody else with me that will be honest enough to say, you know what, there's times, yeah, I feel sorry for myself. The rest of you just a bunch of liars tonight, all right? Because you posted all over Facebook that you want people to feel sorry for you, but you don't want to raise your hand and be honest tonight. Let's move on. But remember this, the times of greatest spiritual fellowship often comes when we are in our greatest point of pain. I'll say it again. The times of greatest spiritual fellowship often comes when we are in our greatest point of pain. So that brings us to our third season tonight. Number one is what? When we are a new convert. Number two, when we're hurt. When our feelings have been hurt, man, the enemy's going to move in. He's going to move in. He's going to move in. If you are somebody that wears your feelings on your sleeve, then you're going to see more battles in your life than what you really need to see. Man, that's kind of mean, isn't it? If you're somebody that throws your feelings out and begs somebody, hurt my feelings just so I can feel sorry for myself, churches are full of them, then you're going to go through battles because that's an opportunity for the enemy to move in and say, hey, here's another chance. They've opened this opportunity, not me. They've done this, so I'm going to take full advantage of this. If I can move in on them and if I can try to defeat them through this season of their life, sometimes we create our own seasons. Sometimes we create them. Sometimes God opens those seasons for us. Which brings me to this. The third season at the beginning is this. The third season is at the beginning of a great victory. At the beginning of a great victory. If the first season of temptation takes place immediately after conversion, if the second season of temptation takes place when the enemy of when the pain of life settles in on us, then the third season of temptation takes place when we are about to embark on some great victory. Somebody say victory. All right, so look at this. The devil, folks, he can sense. He can sense when God is about to bring you into some great state of revival. He can sense it. He cannot read your mind or God's intent, but he can see the patterns that are taking place. He can see it. He can see the, listen, that's why I tell people pray out loud. My kid, Jaden, when he was younger, he says, why do we pray? My friends, they pray quietly. Why do we pray? I said, we pray out loud because that's what the devil can hear. And I want him to be able to hear it sometimes. I want him to know. I preached about it Sunday morning. I want him to be able to know that he's got no authority over my life. I tell my kids, you know, no, pray out loud, boys. Let the devil know you have no victory over us. You've got no victory. I'm going to sleep good tonight. I'm not going to have any bad dreams tonight. God's going to bless. We say it every night. God, I receive your favor. I receive your blessing on my life. I receive good health on my life. I receive things in my life. I receive doors to be opened up in my life. I receive your blessing in everything that I do. I look for it in my life. I speak it out loud. Because I want the enemy to know that you know what? You've got to fight. If you're looking for a fight, you've got to fight in me. You don't have a friend in me. We're not Toy Story anymore. You've got to fight in me. And so when the enemy looks at our lives and he sees the patterns that are going on in our lives that are taking place, when he notices the potential for a spiritual victory taking place, he goes on the attack. When he sees you start praying a little more, when he sees you getting on fire a little more, when he sees you're opening up a daily devotional and you're saying, God, speak, do something. God, I want to listen. God's already stirring something in your heart more. God's already starting to stir up the gifts inside of you more. God's already starting to stir up a hunger inside of you more. And the devil's beginning to see it. And he says, He said, this is not their normal activity. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start moving in on their lives, and I'm going to start moving in for the attack. And so that's a season in our life. It seems like, you know what? I was on fire so good. I was so fired up for God. Then this happens. Revival, man, revival just blessed me. Oh, it was so good. Oh, I'm so fired up. But the next week, here comes the attack. Has it ever happened to anybody else? It happens. So what happens is he will put Paul and Barnabas at odds so that they will part ways. He attacked Jesus at the beginning of his ministry and attacked him all the way through it, and then bitterly attacked him at the end. That's how he works. The more prominent that a person may be in leadership, influence, or spiritual authority, the devil will do his best to fracture these to the point of failure in your life. He'll do whatever he can do to bring it down. Listen, he wants to pull that fire out of you. He wants you to get lazy. He wants you to get tired. He wants you not to have any time to spend time with God. He wants to pull the excitement out of you. You will discover more often than not, just before God is going to do something great in your life, you will weather your share of storms and shakings in life that will attempt to rattle your faith and desire. But I want to tell you something. You cannot quit. You cannot quit through those times. Well, what's it worth? I'm not seeing the end result because you quit somewhere. You quit. Listen, it's a war. Man, it's a battle that goes on, and you're not even seeing it. But I want you to understand, do not be ignorant, brethren. Do not be ignorant of what the enemy is trying to do in your life and how he's trying to destroy and take away peace and take away joy out of your life. The fourth season tonight I want to share, fourth season, is this. The objects for the fall. If the first season is temptation, takes place immediately after conversion, the second season of temptation takes place when the pain of life settles in on us. If the third season takes place when we're about to embark on some great victory, then the fourth season will take place when the devil puts objects near us that will cause us to fail. Did you hear me? The devil will put objects in front of us that will cause us to fail. When he attempted, or rather when he tempted Eve and brought her fall, he used a tree. It was something near that he took advantage of, tempting her with. She was near the tree and then put her eyes on it, and then the dialogue with the devil started up. So what will happen is he'll always use something that is near you to try to bring you down. He'll always, listen, he may even use somebody that is near you, church, hear me tonight, to pull you down. It's a season in life. It's a season. The fact is that what gets into our eyes will soon find its way into our hearts. And listen, it's important to understand that I'm living for God. I'm on fire for God. I told somebody the other day, I said, you're not who you used to be. So you can't go back to that lifestyle. You can't go back down that road. As a matter of fact, you can't even look down the road. The road is closed off. The road does not exist anymore. You cannot even think about going down that road, because what will happen is the enemy will bring somebody or something up to try and make you fall. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've seen this as an illustration. I tell people, it's so much easier. You've heard me do this. It's so much easier for somebody to pull me down than for me to pull them up. I don't care who you are. people have influence in our lives. When you pop that bubble around you and you allow people to come into your life and you allow people to influence your life and you allow people to speak into your life, they'll pull things out of you that will take you back down the road that you came from. And you're traveling down that road. You set up a tent down that road, and now you're holding permanent residence in that road, and you didn't even know it happened and when it happened. So you've got to understand that the thing that the enemy will do is that he'll bring people and he'll bring things in front of you that will cause you to fall. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says this: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What a powerful word that is. Proverbs 23, 19, it says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Colossians 3, 2 says this: set your affections on the things above and not on the things on earth. Hear me tonight, saints. Judas fell with the money bag. It was right there. Man, it was in front of him the whole time. Esau fell with the bowl of stew. That was in front of him the whole time. Demas fell with his love of the world. Achan fell because of his longing for a wedge of gold and a garment. You can count on it every time that the devil will place things or people in your life that will be intoxicating to you, and he'll tell you, take it, use it, get it, and all to the destruction of your spiritual health. That's all he wants to do. He just wants to destroy the fire, the desire for the things of God. He'd love it if you're out of church. He'd love it if you back out of church, because he knows if he can fill up your schedule and he can pull you out of church, it's just a matter of not years, not months, days before you're destroyed completely. He knows he can do that. That's why it's so important. It's so important to stay in, to stay with it. To feed off of it. Man, get in the daily bread. Get into a prayer time. You gotta stay strong through this. The fifth season I want to share with you tonight, the fifth season of temptation. If the first season, if you're writing these down, I'm going to kind of reiterate these. If the first season of temptation takes place when? Immediately after conversion. If the second season of temptation takes place when? Pain of life settles in. When the third season of temptation takes place is when? You're about to embark on a great victory. The fourth season of temptation will take place when? Objects before the fall, absolutely. The fifth season of temptation is when? Ain't there yet, just checking with you. The fifth season of temptation will take place after we have received the great mercy and grace of God. What does that mean? Well, after you have experienced a great demonstration of the love of God and the grace of God and the power of God in your life, the devil will come to attack with fierce temptations. More saints find themselves in a place of spiritual relaxation after these moments in time. It's true. Somebody lost 50 pounds. I did good. Lost 50 pounds. So what happens is they begin to relax. Hey, I did good. Then the next time they're on the scale, they've gained 55 pounds. And they're thinking to themselves, how? How did it happen? It's because you let your guard down, that's why. It's very easy for us when we get up off the altar and, man, we look like Alice Cooper and we've got makeup going down our face and we've cried all of our makeup off and big puddle of tears are left here. And man, we're in a crying mood and a hugging mood and we go to everybody, oh, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I mean, we just lovey-dovey, you know, when we leave the church. If you're not careful, it's after that. It's after those moments. It's after moments of ladies' retreat. It's after moments of Winterfest, Kids Fest, revival times, that you let your guard down, because you're thinking, man, I did good. God bless me. It's after the times of spending time in the altar and realizing, you know, and receiving from God. It's at those moments that the enemy's going to come in fierce with a fierce temptation. More saints, again, find those times and find themselves in a place of spiritual relaxation. I've heard people say the dumbest thing. Well, I went to church 2 weeks ago, so it ain't going to hurt. But where were you at? Well, I was tired. That's the dumbest thing you could say. Sick, we understand. Out of town, understand. Family, work, understand. I just want to sleep in. But the last week, you poured your heart out to the altar, in the altar to God. And this week, you just want to pull your guard down and say, hey, here I am, attack me all you want. It doesn't make sense, folks. It does not make sense. Do you love me still? You better. Look at the life of Peter in Matthew 16. 1 minute, he has received grand revelation, and the next minute, the Lord is calling him the devil. Look at Joseph in Genesis. 1 moment, he's flushed with pride of his father's love. He wears his coat, and the next moment, he's cold. He's sold off by his jealous brothers. Look at the children of Israel collapsing the walls of Jericho, and then days later, rattled by Ai, by a much lesser opponent. What happened? They just let their guard down. They thought to themselves, I've done so good. I think I'll reward myself. I deserve a reward. I deserve a reward. Look at Moses receiving the law on the mountain in the thickness of God's glory, and then shortly dashing it to the ground because of idolatry at the foot of the mountain. See how quick, when you let your guard down, how fast the enemy moves in, how quick it happens. Folks, it's a season. It's a war. He'll do anything at any moment. These are just examples of seasons that, man, he wants to go on the attack. The final one I want to give you right quick is this. The sixth season is this, at the moment of death. At the moment of death, when a saint of God is down to his last moment of life, he may feel stricken in body by pain, and the loss of strength may discourage him. And then the cowardly enemy, the tempter, comes in one last time. But I want to remind us tonight in conclusion that you know what? The scripture says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, it says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Who are those? The ones that said in Ephesians that when you've done all that you know to do, you just stand. You stand. Even when you see the seasons in your life coming, when you see the seasons in your life rolling around, when you see that, okay, here he comes. Okay, God just blessed me. Get ready for it. Get ready, because here it comes. You know, God, I just received a promotion. God just blessed me financially. God just did something great for my family. Be on guard. Be ready. Put on the full armor of God, because it's coming. Do I have a choice? Yeah, you got a choice. You can fight or you can fail. That's your choice. You don't get any other choice. That's it for you. That's the life of a Christ follower. He wants you, and he's trying to defeat you. And you can't let your guard down. You can't just give in. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will be the temptation also make a way to escape. Hey, it doesn't say you won't be tempted, but it says when you are tempted, you'll make a way of escape, that he may be able to bear it. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." He's pulling for you, folks. He's pulling for every one of us. He knows the battle. He sees the battle. He's fighting the battle that you're not seeing, that I'm not seeing. He's fighting the battle when you're on your way home tonight. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a battle that's being fought for you tonight. Tomorrow, Friday.